All right, let's get to it. See him in the waiting room, ready to go, on time, as always. This is an athlete right here. This is what athletes do. They always show up when they're supposed to. And joining us now to recap another weekend that was for Texas baseball is the legendary lifetime Longhorn and 2001 World Series champion, Greg Swindell. Zeke, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing well, and thank you for talking about my promptness.
There you go. Let me ask you that, Greg, before we get into it. When did you learn that you had to be on time or something bad was going to happen? Was that high school? Was that middle school? Was that your dad saying, you better have your ass here on time or I'll leave you?
That's where it started. Yes. It always starts at home, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dad, I mean, I'd walk to practice. I'd have to get – he's already out there dragging the field. I'm like, Dad, I'm at home. You were late. You didn't get the ride.
I did that with my son, Greg. My son, who's got a really nice business going right now, he wanted to go fishing with me one morning. I said, well, you got to be here at 5 o'clock at the dock. Here's where we're going in New Hampshire. That dude came out of the dock like 10 after five. I was out there with a rowboat and we were about 300 yards out. We never even looked back at him.
No.
And I said, after that, he was the first thing on that dock. He has known from that point on that I will leave him if he's not. I wouldn't turn the motor around. I said, I gave you time to be there. If you can't be there, I'm gone.
That's right. In high school, if we were late, we had to either run laps or get pops. Oh. So that wasn't happening.
No.
Oh. So I learned the old adage, you know, if you're 5 minutes early, you're late.
Yes.
So
yes.
Even when I got to the big leagues, I was out there ready to stretch, even though I might not have stretched half the time. I was there early and I was on time. I had to be. I didn't hate my teammates, but I did not like them showing up, just dragging out.
Yeah.
The team's already out there stretching.
I agree.
Yeah, you athletes are different. If you're 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes early. What do you mean if you're 5 minutes early?
No, you're late.
What are y'all talking about?
You're on time.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we'll start with some Texas baseball here, Greg. We'll start with Friday's game. Dylan Volantis, I don't think you had any doubts that the move up in the rotation was going to be a good one for him, but he was fantastic. I mean, really everything was fantastic for Texas. The Longhorns cruised to an 11-4 win. They led 11-0 at one point. Aiden Robbins, a couple of homers. Adrian Rodriguez finally hit his first home run of the season. I guess we'll start with the good, Zeke. Your big takeaways from what you saw on Friday night in Nashville.
I mean, exactly that. Volantis, only 87 pitches in six innings. They made it interesting, had the bases loaded, 11-4 game. One swing of the bat in that stadium, it could have been a three-run ball game. So bullpen came in, did their job after that. You got to love seeing A-Rod getting that first one. You could tell he was ready to get the monkey off his back, too, when he got hit that dugout and was just getting fired up. His teammates were fired up. You know, he's I think he's still a little tender. You can see that when he throws a baseball and when he swings the bat a little bit, but Aiden Robbins, what more can you say? I mean, when isn't he going to hit a home run? And he's not even in the top 10 in the country. And we're thinking this guy's Babe Ruth out there, but he is for Texas right now. I mean, what, 16 and 17 on Friday night, a big win. So they got they won the game. The thing, go ahead. We'll talk about the bad in a minute. There's not too much bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We don't like talking about bad. But I mean, not bad, but. I just think like in golf, I think Casey Borba has the yips. You can see yesterday a couple check swings on a 3-1 count and a 3-2 count, and it's in his head. But he did have a couple good at bats. He got hit, he got a walk, and yesterday's game. I'm moving ahead here, but if we get him back on track, the bottom of the lineup did their part again, just enough. He got a home run from Livingstone, I believe, in that game Friday. So it's It was a really good baseball game as far as going into a Nashville and taking the first game decisively for the baseball.
Yeah, legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell here on Bucky and BK. Well, while everything was good on Friday, not so good on Saturday. The Longhorns get shut out 6-0, just 5 hits for the offense. Ruger Riojas only made it 3 innings. Jim Schlossnagel pretty critical of his team and his team's approach at the plate after that. I was a little surprised to hear that considering the explosion that they had offensively on Friday. But your thoughts, is it just one bad game? Sometimes that's baseball and you're playing a good team on the road, or Do you agree with maybe Schloss's sentiment that the approach for Texas at the dish is not quite what it needs to be right now?
I mean, it was Friday.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you tip the cap. I mean, maybe they weren't seeing the ball as well on Saturday. Maybe the time changed. I mean, a lot of things, baseball players are creatures of habit. So they didn't swing the bat. I think I had Tinney and Pack with two hits, and then Mendoza had one. So offense wasn't doing much. Ruger on the mound didn't – everything was up around the waist and down the middle. And then you're going to get hit when that happens. So good thing about Ruger leaving the game early is Burns came in and threw 3 1/3 innings and struck out 5. So, yeah. I mean, we talked about him a few weeks ago. He's getting back on track. He's come in now back-to-back days and throwing the ball well. But when you leave the ball up and over the plate, I don't care who you are, it's going to get hit. But the offensive strategy, I mean, just wasn't there on Saturday. It was there a little bit on Sunday, just enough. They scored the run in the ninth inning on Sunday, or the 10th inning, without getting a hit. So,
Greg, when you're a pitcher like Ruger, I mean, when he comes in, you know, early in the season when he was just firing that fastball and he was hitting corners and not throwing the ball right down the pipe, can you get to a point where you try too hard? I mean your whole approach looks like I'm coming out here, I'm all fired up, and you lose that kind of smooth edge that you had in the beginning, but now you're just trying to throw the ball so hard that you lose spots that you're used to pitching to, and you just, like you said, you put it right down the guts where they want. That's exactly where they want it.
That's what I was in a texting thread with some buddies, and I told them, I said, good thing there was a wall there in Nashville, because I think 3 of the first 4 hit the wall, and the one that didn't went over the wall. So when that happens, Buck, you start to press. He started throwing a little more sidearm. He started throwing he tried to start inventing pitches out there, which he already has 8. I don't know how many more he can have. But, you do start to press. You haven't been hit that hard that early in a long time. So trying to make up pitches and change arm angles, it happens. And I believe 3 of the 5 of the first hits were all on breaking balls. I'm throwing 95, 96 with a little life. I say it all the time. I'm throwing 95, 96 with a lot of life. I'm not going to let them hit my secondary stuff. Mm-hmm. If they hit that number one, I can live with that. But they're going to have to show me they can hit it first. And they showed him that they could hit the breaking ball. And he kept throwing it and he kept hanging it. That was the only bad thing about it, was the location. He was hanging it. Once that happened, he started pressing.
Yeah, I'm mad at myself for asking you this question, Zeke, but I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm mad at myself because it's from Twitter, and Twitter is just such a cesspool of horrible opinions at times. But, you know, we've spent some time talking about the offense, some inconsistencies at the bottom of the order. Obviously asked you about Jim Schlossnagel's comments after the game on Saturday, where he said some of his guys looked spooked in the box. There are people questioning Troy Tulowitzki. Like, is he the right guy to be this team's hitting coach? Is he a good enough at his job? Why are guys who have been in this program for a couple of years not taking the steps that we would like to see at the plate? Is that at all a fair question, or you think that's crazy from some Longhorn fans on social media?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have that. You can lead a horse to water, right? Can't make him drink it. You can do all you can do during the week, during batting practice, in between innings, talking to players, but eventually, they're the ones that have to go up there and see the ball and hit the ball. So, Tulo's one of the hardest workers out there, not only with the offense, with the defense, and you see that part. The defense is really good, but you can only do so much talking. Eventually, it's up to the player to go up there and do it. So, for him, I think, I mean, they hit the ball out of the park. They hit the ball in the gap. Sometimes you're going to have weekends or games. I mean, they have 1 or 2 games where things look a little awry, but Tulo's a good guy, and I know good guys doesn't make you a good coach, but he's very good and works hard, and I keep saying that eventually it's up to the player once he gets up there.
Yeah, and my last question today, Zeke, Sam Cozart, I mean, I feel like we ask you about him every time we talk now, but
you can ask about him every week if you want.
Right. Well, it was weird to see him give up a run yesterday. It's like this guy's been a machine. He's been a robot just putting up zeros. He gives up the game-tying run in the eighth inning. And part of me was a little surprised to see him back out there for the next two innings. But clearly, Jim Schlossnagel and Max Wiener have all the faith in the world. You know, sometimes, I guess, for a young pitcher, it could be a little rattling. You give up a tying run on the road. The crowd's getting into it. And, I mean, what can you say about his resiliency from his first real adverse moment that maybe he's had in a while for him to get out of a couple of jams in the ninth and the 10th to preserve that win?
Well, he's your guy. I mean, he's your guy. He's the one you want out there, whether he gives it up or whether he doesn't. I mean, he showed yesterday, he's what, 6'6", 200 and something pounds. His balls must be just gigantic because he goes out there. I mean, they were a error, a hit, a pass ball away from not winning the series yesterday.
Yep.
And he said, nah. And he's the one that balked them in the scoring position, balked them to third. So yep. For a kid that young, that talented to be able to just, I mean, you saw him out there. He's like, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. So it is one time, one point where you want to see maybe give it up, maybe a walk-off. I mean, I think you grow from these things. Texas fans are probably saying, you're crazy saying something like that. But I just don't think anything gets to Sam Cozart. And again, he came in two innings on Saturday, two perfect innings, three innings on Sunday, and 63 pitches yesterday. And we talked about it earlier on the shows before that starting, middle relieving, long relieving, that came into effect yesterday. He threw 63 pitches. You know he can go four innings. Just a key asset right now. And really the reason I believe yesterday they won the game with him out there.
You know, yeah. Greg, this is a Vandy team that had their struggles unlike they did last year, but still a pretty good baseball team. I mean, they got some guys that can hit too. They haven't taken a total downfall to the bottom of the pits. They're not quite as good as last year, but they're still pretty good. They still got some pretty good players.
No, Vandy's real good. I mean, they got really, really great arms. Their offense is good. Texas went in there and won two out of three. So on the road. So it was a great weekend. And we talked about last week, as long as they keep doing that, you win the weekend, you're going to be setting yourself up. I got Sam Houston tomorrow, Mississippi State coming in. They've won eight in a row after losing six out of seven. So they're playing good. They swept LSU over the weekend. That'll be a fun series. That takes you back to that's who Texas had to beat in 83 to get to Omaha to win the national championship a couple of times. So, and then we beat them the Thunder and Lightning year. We beat them, and they said, oh, well, y'all, if we had to beat y'all that game, we'd have won the national championship. And I said, well, guess what? You didn't beat us, so you couldn't have won the national championship.
Oh, that is great. Yeah, should be a fun one. Five-game homestand. Get it started tomorrow at the Dish with Sam Houston coming to town. And then, Texas, Mississippi State for three games this weekend. Should be a hell of a series. Always a hell of a time chopping it up with you, Zeke. Really appreciate it. And hopefully next Monday we're recapping another series victory.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it, Zeke.
Appreciate you guys.
There he goes. Legendary Lifetime Longhorn, Greg Swindell, talking some Texas baseball. And look, it wasn't pretty. There were some ups and downs over the weekend, but anytime you win a road series in this league, you will absolutely take it. And Texas has played seven SEC series, Buck. They've won six of them, and they are still very much in the thick of things for the SEC championship. Now the two teams ahead of them also won their weekend series. Georgia and Texas A&M both took two of three. So the Longhorns are still a game and a half back. They didn't make up any ground in the standings, but nine conference games left. They're still right there. And more importantly, they're number four in the country, which means they're very much in line to be a top eight national seed when the tournament begins. That's the biggest priority. But of course, we want to have our cake and we want to eat it too, right?
Yeah. And as when I asked Zeke about Ruger and his pitching, he just looks like he's like, dude, I'm coming out here and I'm firing. And then, like Zeke said, then he started coming from different angles, not the same angle. You know, I guess when your stuff doesn't get to right where you want to be, then you want to try to fool him a little bit. And that's just not your style.
Yeah. He got hit around.
You can notice that where his arm angle was coming from after a while. I'm like, wow, he's coming really from the side a lot now. And I don't know if that's because when he wasn't hitting with his regular throwing motion, that you just started to change that up. although he did throw a bunch of curveballs that came right down to guts.
Yeah. Now, Saturday was just not a good day all around. And no. Riojas didn't have his best stuff. He was throwing some meatballs over the plate. And again, the offense, they had 14 strikeouts for the Texas Bats on Saturday. They only had five hits, obviously didn't score a run. And I don't know what it is. You know, Texas, Texas coaches in post-game speeches after games against Vanderbilt and Nashville. I mean, what Jim Schlossnagel did on Saturday paled in comparison to what Vic Schaefer did after the women's basketball team got smoked by Vandy in the regular season. But yeah, it's I don't know what goes on in Nashville, but the coaches, they don't always like what they see, I guess. Obviously. Too many distractions. Maybe they're going out to Broadway and drinking a little too much. Who knows?
Obviously, something's going on there.
Who knows? But, yeah, Texas still in the thick of things in the SEC. And, again, they just keep finding ways to win series. You know, Mississippi State, early on in conference play, it was a belief that Texas and Mississippi State were the two best teams in the SEC. Mississippi State hit a bit of a rough patch, but they've obviously turned things on as of late. You know, Texas still a top five team in the country, but Georgia's emerged, A&M has emerged, and as it happens every year in this conference, it's always good, it's always deep, and you see a couple of teams maybe that you don't expect shoot towards the top. But yeah, these are two Omaha type of clubs that will be playing. It's going to have a super regional feel in Austin this weekend. So Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, should be some great games. And another one, if Texas can just take a series, you'll feel really good about where this team
for sure
is sitting right now. Now we're getting close to the home stretch. Again, 9 SEC games remaining for the Longhorns. So this is you want to be playing some of your best baseball towards this time of the year. Hopefully Texas is able to start really kicking it in gear down the stretch. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. We'll get back into the NFL draft. We'll also talk NBA playoffs. Victor Wembanyama returned for the Spurs yesterday. He was not real happy, though, with the concussion protocol that he went through that caused him to miss game three. We'll let you hear from Wimby, and we'll see how the Buck did with his gold star locks here. But before we go any further, how about a few more sponsor shout-outs?
You know, our friends over at Sue Patrick with the incredible selection of Texas Longhorn apparel. They've got tons of it, collectibles, accessories, and more. Tons of Texas-themed items, gifts, books. Mother's Day, Father's Day is just around the corner. Kids, make sure mom and dad, if they want their Texas gear, they can get it at Sue Patrick for sure. 5222 Burnett Road. Got my hat on today. Look, even gone t-shirt. Look at that.
Nice.
Yes, indeed. I'm all geared up for sure. And you can be too. They offer free shipping on online orders of $59 or more, free curbside pickup. And as I said, plenty of parking spaces there at 5222 Burnett Road. And folks, if you got a little tight T-baller, they've got those jerseys that look just like the official jerseys that the Texas Longhorn baseball players are wearing. Get that. My little grandson loves his. He doesn't need to. Dude sleeps in it. Now, he doesn't sleep in it after he – I mean, my daughter washes it first, but that dude sleeps in his little gear that I got from Sue Patrick from him for his little baseball outfit. He loves it, and you can get that for your kid or your grandkid or whatever. Also, the Jelly Cat headquarters right there at 5222 Burnett Road. For more information, head to SuePatrick.com.
Yes, indeed. Love Sue Patrick. Also, a shout-out to our friends at Early Bird CBD. Today is the final day of the Early Bird 420 sale, meaning you can get 25% off of any purchase on earlybirdcbd.com. You know, normally we hook you up with 20% off if you use the promo code Bucky, but Early Bird, their 420 sale started on 420, ends today on 427. You can get an extra 5% off. Just use the promo code 420 at checkout. You've got the great gummies. You've got the brand new drops, water soluble. You drop them in to a tonic, to a sparkling water, to a soda, to a juice, and you're going to get all the great benefits of Early Bird CBD. It's a local Austin company, and their products are formulated with CBD, but also a micro dose of THC. Think two glasses of wine deep. That's how you're going to feel after Early Bird CBD. But the best part, you know, you drink a couple of glasses of wine the next morning, you're going to be feeling it a little bit. Head's going to be hurting. You're going to be groggy. And you're like, why did I do that last night? You don't have that with Early Bird CBD. You get that, take the edge off of feel good feeling. And then the next morning, hey, it's back to normal. You're your normal self. Earlybirdcbd.com. Again, 420. Take advantage of that 25% off sale that ends today at earlybirdcbd.com.
Our good friend, of course, Matt King is about to take that 2,000-mile journey from Mexico to Canada in one mission, raise $1 million to give it directly to communities who need it the most. Now, he's going to meet these folks face to face along his route. And this isn't about just the thing that he's doing. It's just about the drive. It's about something that really matters, and that's giving back to people in communities that really need help. And he's doing that all the way from Mexico all the way to Canada. He's going to raise $1 million, but he's going to give $1 million away, folks. He's not keeping a cent. He doesn't want a cent. He wants to give it back to the community. So Matt King is doing something very, very special for not only the state of Texas, but for this country. And we appreciate you helping him along the way by going to, of course, therideproject.com. Just give whatever you can give. If it's a little, that's fine. If it's a lot, that's even better. But go to therideproject.com and give whatever you can so that he can help these folks out along the journey. And BK will be following him along the way, of course. And I will, too.
Streaming. Yeah, we'll be following on social media. Yeah, we're not going to be.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Following along on our own bikes. I mean, neither of us own bikes, so it's not going to happen.
We won't be on scooters. We'll be following him along his trip. That's about to come up soon, too.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk to Matt later this week and just get a check-in on how his training and preparation have been coming along. Quick shout out to Sleep Cycle Centers, our guy, Dr. Chad. If you are a snorer or if your significant other is a snorer, reach out to Dr. Chad at Sleep Cycle Center, two Austin area locations, and he wants to make your sleeping problems go away forever. If you're a snorer, it's not just annoying to the person sleeping next to you. It could be the sign of a serious health problem. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea, and folks have lost their lives in their sleep because their breathing stops because of their snoring. NFL Hall of Famer Reggie White is one of them. Dr. Chad lost his own father in his sleep due to undiagnosed sleep apnea. It's why he is so passionate and committed to making sure that you don't have the same fate. SleepCycleCenters.com, free consultations for listeners of this show. Plus, you're going to get $100 off an at-home sleep study if you mention Bucky and BK. Again, two locations around the Austin area, one up north, 183 and Breaker, the other in Lakeway off of Highway 620. It is SleepCycleCenters.com.
Sweet.
All right. Where do you want to go next, Buck? A little NBA playoffs or some more NFL draft recap?
Let's see if I did. I help the people out at all?
You did not. But you didn't hurt the people.
But I didn't help them. They don't care. They don't want a neutral standby guy. They're trying to make money.
You were Switzerland over the weekend.
Oh, gee.
You had six gold star locks during Friday's show. You got three right. You got three wrong.
Yeah, they don't like kissing sister stuff. They don't like that.
No, they don't like kissing sister stuff. This isn't Arkansas or Alabama here, no, sir.
Or West Virginia.
No, we're not that deep in the SEC yet. We're not doing that kind of stuff. So you were still down 25,000 units. Before we get to your gold star locks for tonight's action, we'll talk about the two Texas NBA teams. The San Antonio Spurs, remember, they lose game two. Obviously, they lose Victor Wembanyama to the concussion. There were some folks, not a lot, but there were some folks around the country saying, oh, upset alert. All of a sudden, series shifts to Portland. The Blazers now have home court advantage. We're not sure when Wemby's going to play. He ended up missing game three, did return yesterday afternoon for game four, but the Spurs just fine without Wemby on Friday night. And then they were down 15 at halftime yesterday and then just totally dominated Portland in the second half, outscoring the Blazers 73-35. In the second half to turn again. It looked like they were maybe in store for a blowout loss. It turned out to be a blowout 21-point victory for San Antonio.
Yeah, they turned the defense on.
Yeah, now the Spurs return home tomorrow with a chance to close out the series in five. I am very confident in saying that is what's going to happen.
Yeah, I believe that's what's going to happen too.
Obviously, good to see Wemby back on the court. He a little bit of a sluggish start yesterday, but once he kicked it in gear, he was back to his normal self. 27 points, 11 rebounds, 7 blocks. Talked about the Spurs ratcheting it up on defense. I mean, that guy is the first unanimous defensive player of the year in NBA history.
Four blocks in the third quarter.
It's ridiculous. He's just ridiculous. Portland could not get anything going in the second half, and the Spurs really kicked it in gear. De'Aaron Fox led all players with 28 points. And it was an impressive showing by San Antonio in both of those games. Oh, yeah. Victor Wembanyama was asked yesterday. So he spoke to the press for the first time since the concussion, right? left game too early, didn't speak to the media after the game, didn't talk any time between games two and game four. So yesterday was the public's first chance to really hear from Wimby about the concussion and about, you know, concussion protocol and getting back on the floor and this, that, and the other. Wimby didn't give a ton of details here, but this was a bit of an eyebrow raiser for me, and it got some people thinking a little bit. Here's Victor Wembanyama saying he was not real happy with the process that he had to go through to get back on the floor for game four.
I won't get into the details. I don't want it to become a distraction. Ask me again after the end of the season. But again, a lot of doctors, especially on the Spurs, but the doctors all around, they were great, took great care of me. But the way the situation was handled was very disappointing, you know. Not on the Spurs again. But as I said, I won't get into the details. But I'm not saying that not playing was a good or bad decision. It was a decision. I'm not saying it was good or bad. But the way the situation was handled, very disappointing.
Yeah, he didn't get it. Obviously, he didn't get the answer that he wanted quick enough. They just kind of hung on and and it wasn't the Spurs people, because this is an NBA decision. You know, doctors away from the Spurs and their protocol more so than the Spurs doctor that's, you know, he's around them all the time. So they obviously didn't act fast enough either way, whether they were going to say nay or yay, you know, for him, you know, and he was disappointed in the way they handled that part of it.
Well, he's such a competitor, right? He wants to be on the floor with his
teammates.
Yeah,
all of them do, yes.
It didn't affect them. I mean, they won game three without him, and it was a strong fourth quarter. I mean, the Spurs were down, I think, 15 points in the third quarter of game three, and it's like, well, no Wimby, you're on the road. He's your go-to guy. What are you going to see? Obviously, game two, the Spurs kind of fell apart without Wembanyama down the stretch. And
yeah,
it was
I got a
totally
feeling
different.
They treated him like he's not just the property of the Spurs. He's the NBA's property, and we're going to be very careful if we just say go in there and he gets dinged again. That doesn't hurt just the Spurs. That hurts all of the NBA.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, CB asked a good question. I don't know if Wimby's going to get fined for that. I mean, again, he didn't give a lot of details. He wasn't super critical. He just said he wasn't real happy with the protocol. Yeah. And maybe he, you know, he said after the season, I'll tell you exactly what happens, and we'll get some more insight on that. But I don't know. I'm glad Wimby's healthy. I'm glad he's fine. I get that he's frustrated. He probably felt like he was good to go on Friday, but he didn't end up playing.
Right.
Again, no harm, no foul. The Spurs are in a good spot. They still won that game, and now they're about to close out this series tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, he's their star player right now. They're going to be very careful on whether they put him back in there and they lose him for the series. That hurts the whole NBA. That, you know how that goes.
Well, the Spurs don't make decisions based on that.
Well, I'm not talking to Spurs. I'm talking about the NBA doctors, those folks.
Well, the protocol is supposed to be the same for everybody. So if they are, maybe you're right. If they are giving a different kind of treatment to Wembanyama, like, well, long term, we got to make sure this guy doesn't, you know, get another concussion real.
Sure. I got to believe
that. That's you can't do that. Like, it's going against your own rules. But I don't, you know. I think if I'm the Spurs, I probably would have held them out anyways for that game three. Just it's Portland. We're better than this.
We won without him.
Yeah. So I don't know. He's back. I don't think there's too much of a story here. He's fine. And he was really good yesterday. And the Spurs in a great spot to advance to round two. The Rockets kept their season alive yesterday. So they went 1-1 over the weekend. They dropped game three in overtime. I mean, a heartbreaker, a total choke job by Houston on Friday. Kevin Durant did not play. He also did not play yesterday, so he's only played one of the first four games of this series, dealing with some sort of knee injury. It was an ankle. Now it's a knee. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if anyone's entirely sure what's going on. But the Rockets had a six-point lead with 30 seconds left and the basketball in game three on Friday. And Jabari Smith throws a ridiculous pass, turns into a turnover. Then Marcus Smart gets fouled by Jayshon Tate. Horrible foul. He makes all three free throws. But the Rockets, they're still up three. They still have the ball, and the Lakers probably need to foul, and they're going to play the free throw game. Instead, LeBron makes an incredible defensive play, tipping the ball away from Reed Shepard. Lakers get it back. LeBron ends up hitting a three, and we go to overtime, and the Lakers get the win. And I know the Rockets won game four, but it's never happened in NBA history where a team has overcome a 3-0 deficit right. to win a series. I can't imagine this Rockets team, especially with the uncertainty of Kevin Durant, whether or not he's going to play. I can't imagine they're going to be the first team to get that done.
Yeah, that was the first time that LeBron looked a little tired in the series. He looked tired.
I mean, yeah, LeBron was terrible old. Yesterday.
That dude's old, and he can't. He can try to keep it up, but boy, he looked a little tired.
Yeah, he was 2 for 9 last night, 10 points, 8 turnovers.
Yeah, he had a couple right at the basket, like kind of little layups that went spinning off the other way. I'm like, wow, that dude looks old today.
Yeah, well, some of these, you get 2 days off in between games right. in some of these series. You didn't get that, right? They played Friday and they played Sunday. And I know LeBron's in better shape than just about any other 42-year-old on the planet, sure. but he still would like the extra rest. And obviously did not get that. But they do get an extra day because game five in LA is not until Wednesday. So two yep. days off in that Rockets-Lakers series. The Rockets have been favored in all four games, and they're down 3-1. The Lakers are early favorites for game five on Wednesday night. Again, we're not sure if Kevin Durant is going to play, but now the Rockets are going to have some serious questions to answer if they lose this series to a Luka and Austin Reeves-less Lakers squad.
For sure.
With the KD situation and him missing three of the first four games. Other big storyline in the NBA, you know, the Wolves, the sixth seed in the West, are up 3-1 over Denver. And the winner of that series is going to play the winner of the Spurs-Blazers series, San Antonio, in round two. So obviously Spurs fans paying a lot of attention to that one. The Wolves seemingly in the driver's seat, but in that game four win, they lose Dante DiVincenzo to a torn Achilles, and they lost Anthony Edwards as well. It looked like Ant tore his ACL. Thankfully, it's not that, but they've already said he's going to miss
weeks. Yeah, it looks like he's got a sprained knee.
Yeah, it's like a hyperextension and a yeah, sprain. And it's, you know, it could have been a lot worse for Minnesota.
Yes.
But I don't know. I mean, look, Minnesota still has to win a fourth game. Now Denver may be feeling better about their chances. They've obviously have to win three in a row to advance now. But if it is Minnesota, you don't want to root for an injury, but that helps the Spurs' path a little bit, that two of their key guys, and obviously their best player with Ant-Man on the shelf right now.
Yeah, you don't know how long that can be. That thing could be anywhere from a week to a month, you know, if that knee is sprained. That thing, that's not easy to come back from. He's not an offensive lineman. It's got to take a little bigger. I mean, he's doing crossovers and everything out, and the way that guy plays.
Yeah. Yeah, and Shams Charania reported yesterday that it's a bone bruise and a hyperextension in his left knee, and he's expected to miss multiple weeks. So yes. Avoided any ligament damage, which obviously is good news, but he will miss time. He's definitely not coming back for the remainder of this Denver series. And if Minnesota does move on to take on San Antonio in round two, at least early on.
Yeah, that's questionable there too.
Yeah, I'd say at least early on, we won't see Ant-Man at all. No. And then whether or not he shows up in the series to be determined. But potential break there for the Spurs. Not that their fans wanted that or anything like that. But, it's a battle of attrition in these playoffs.
It happens.
So there you go. There's what happened in the NBA. Now I'm curious, and the people are curious, Buck, if you have any gold star locks in either the association or the National Hockey League for tonight's action.
Stars are playing tonight, aren't they?
The Stars are not playing tonight.
Oh.
You've got your Flyers back in action tonight.
Are they up? Are the Flyers up 3-1?
They're up 3-1. They were up 3-0 with a chance to close it out at home in game four. They lost. So now the series shifts back to Pittsburgh. What is that? Western PA?
Yeah, that's almost in West Virginia. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take – you know, they just had the draft there in Pittsburgh. Everybody's excited. I'll take Pittsburgh for a 100,000-unit play tonight.
Wow, betting against your own team again.
Yes.
I think you're like 0-3 betting against the Flyers so far.
Bold yeah, but move. That's an easy win. We're back in the money now.
Okay, and then your other hockey game. Surprised you're starting with the NHL tonight. You've got Vegas and Utah. Game four in Salt Lake, the Mammoth leading 2-1.
Sorry, Woolly Mammoth. You don't win this one. I'll take 50,000-unit play on Vegas.
Okay. jotting that all down. Now we get to the NBA. You've got three games tonight, starting with 7 o'clock, Pistons Magic. The 1-8 matchup out east. Orlando, the 8 seed, has a 2-1 lead. Detroit needs this one to even things up and avoid going down 3-1.
Are we still in Detroit?
Nope.
Oh.
Detroit's a 2.5-point road favorite in
I'll take Detroit for 50,000 unit play.
Okay. And then you've got Thunder Suns, OKC, going for the sweep in Phoenix. They are 10.5-point road favorites.
I don't want to play that one. I'll wait till we get to the Celtics and the Sixers again.
Okay. And then Timberwolves Nuggets, the fifth game of that series.
What's that line?
What do you think?
9.5.
11.5.
Oh, God. I'll take Denver for 50,000 unit play.
Okay. All right. There you go. So four picks.
11.5?
11.5. Yep. The game back in the Mile High, and no Ant-Man and no Dante DiVincenzo for Minnesota.
Yeah, that'll be big.
Must win game for the Joker. And
Joker will have like 60 tonight.
Putting in the call for that?
Yeah, I'm putting in a big night for the Joker.
Big numbers. So there you go. There's your NBA recap from the weekend. Again, San Antonio 1-1 away from moving on. Houston 1-loss away from going to Cancun.
What is the deal? What is it? Are the Stars down now?
2-2.
2-2, huh?
2-2. Yep. Game 5 in that series will be tomorrow back in Big D. All right. Let's get to a little more NFL draft conversation. How about Jerry Jones, Buck? You want to hear from him?
Yes, indeed. I want to hear from him. He's going to make some sense.
He is?
Yeah. He had a great draft. Good job, Jerry.
I don't know if there's ever been a person in the history of the world who's made less sense than Jerry Jones.
He's going to make sense now. He's got it going on, him and Steven. That was a great draft by them.
Yeah, he's very proud of what the Cowboys were able to accomplish. And Dallas has been getting a lot of praise from draft people all over the industry. The Cowboys, look, they needed defense, and they addressed the defense. They had 7 picks total. 5 of them were spent on the defensive side of the football, including their first 3 picks of the draft, right? Their 2 first-rounders and then their lone day 2 pick in round 3, where they took another defensive player out of Michigan. Say your prayers, Cowboys
fans.
Yeah,
that was not a good move on their part.
But not only did Dallas, you know, draft all of those guys, they also made a trade for a player. They picked up D. Winters, the veteran linebacker from the San Francisco 49ers, a guy who had over 100 tackles for that 49ers defense this past year. The Cowboys traded a 5th for him, so they pick up a guy who they think is going to be a starting linebacker, not through the draft, but using a draft pick during draft weekend.
This is going to work out better for him, BK, than it did when they took my guy from the Minnesota Vikings, who had been in the league for 1,000 years.
Oh, Kendricks?
The inside backer.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think it will.
I hope it's better than him. I hope it's better than Kenneth Murray, the Oklahoma Sooner. I mean, the Cowboys, like, here's the biggest question for me still with them is linebacker. I still don't think they have done enough to address it, and I just think they ignore that position more than they should.
Yes, I
know what they're hoping. They're hoping DeMarvion Overshown is healthy, and when he's been,
and they're
on
hoping
the ball
never gets to the linebacker area.
Well, that'd be nice too. You know, they're hoping D. Winter still has a little life left.
Yes.
I think some of his numbers were a bit inflated, and just some of his reputation was a bit inflated playing next to Fred Warner
for
as long as he did in San Francisco. I think he's a solid player, but I don't think he's great. And then, you know, Jayshon Barham, the 3rd-round pick out of Michigan, like, that guy's an edge. He was more of an edge in college, played some linebacker, but I thought he was better at edge, and the Cowboys have already said, no, he's going to be an off-ball backer on our team. So it's a little piecemealed. It's still a bit of a question mark, but again, there's no doubt the Cowboys defense right now is a hell of a lot better than it was, you know, last Wednesday
before
the draft got here. And here's Jerry Jones explaining the Cowboys draft, but also how proud he is of the job that he's done on the defensive side of the ball this offseason.
We have 5 first round draft picks that we didn't have this time last year on defense. Quinnen, Clark, I'm taking liberty, Gary, Downs, and Lawrence. So right there, we've added five first-round picks that weren't a part of the team this time last year. We've added 9 new players on defense this offseason between trades and free agencies. 9 new on defense. We've added 9 new defensive coaches out of 10 coaches on defense. We've added 9 new ones. We not only that, and Coach could speak to that if you want any of it, but we have changed the concept of what we're doing defensively. The facts are that we have executed on, we got to see exactly how it's going to be, but we've executed on a dramatic change. The other thing, and I can say it this way, and it's not in any way to be talking from any vantage point, but Brian is a head coach that has spent a lot of time in a lot of rooms in the NFL to be at his age. You've heard me say that. But he is absolutely, after that year we had last year on defense, he has absolutely had to just tunnel vision, burn a hole in, from the standpoint of interviewing all the coaches that we hired, from the standpoint of looking at the schemes and seeing their ideas about the schemes. He has gone through a doctor's degree from Harvard in terms of at least putting this in place so that we can now go coach them up and execute.
Whatever. He's the head coach. He better be. He better make sure that the defense is good. He had a great offense. He's had a great offense. That's a part of his job. He doesn't just coach the offense, Jerry. He's the head coach of the entire team. He better have a degree with that defense that he had, that piece of crap that they rolled out there last year.
Yeah, I did cut out the last minute of that clip.
You're right. He is just babbling away again.
Kept rambling and rambling. And, hey, I was curious what shot he did in the offseason. Apparently, he went to Harvard and got a doctorate degree.
Yeah, really good.
So we're going to start having to call him Dr. Shoddy on the show this year. And look, Jerry Jones, I mean, the beginning of that, he wants you to know that he did what you wanted him to do.
Yeah, he got rid of that. He got rid of that lousy rush in that he had. That's what he wants you to know. We got 5 first-round picks. We got rid of that other guy.
Well, that's the funny part right there is, like, technically the Cowboys said that 5 players that they added on defense were guys who were drafted in the first round whenever they got drafted. So, obviously, the 2 first-round picks this year with Caleb Downs and Malachi Lawrence. Quinnen Williams was a first-round draft pick that the Cowboys traded for midway through last season. Rashawn Gary was a first-round draft pick that the Cowboys traded for in the offseason. And who was the other name that he – oh, Kenny Clark, who was in the Michael Parsons trade, was also a first-round pick like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So he's making it seem like, no, we had 5 first-round picks on Thursday, and we spent them all on defense. It's like,
I told you what we could get if we just got rid of Michael Parsons. I told you we were going to get all these first-round picks.
Right. And that's it. Look, he's like, you guys wanted me to address the defense, and I addressed the defense. So don't blame – if it doesn't work, blame our doctorate coach.
Yeah, blame that guy.
I did everything I could do. I got 9 new coaches. I got all these first-round picks. I got all these players. You guys wanted me to do stuff. I did what you wanted. So if it doesn't work, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's. Okay?
Oh, my God.
That's Jerry Jones right there. But, look, I will give him credit, as ridiculous as how he says what he said. I mean – that's obviously you did that, Jerry. You had to do that. You were the worst defense in the NFL last year. Yes. You're just doing your job as the general manager to fix the thing that caused you to have a letdown season in 2025. So I don't know why you're acting like you did the Lord's work with you literally just did your job this offseason. But I will give them credit. They did a lot. I think they could have done more in free agency, but I wanted them to go heavy on defense in the draft. They did that. They did address, you know, the defensive line. They brought in a few different edge rushers. They brought in linebackers. They obviously addressed the secondary. And I think the biggest change was getting rid of Matt Eberflus and bringing in Christian Parker to help coach up that defense. So is it all of a sudden one of the most talented defenses in football? Probably not. But is it a hell of a lot better on paper than what it was at this time last year? Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple more wins right there because of the defense.
And that's
going to help out this, because the offense is still going to be spectacular. So
that's it.
You know, that
that's the thing. The Cowboys defense doesn't have to be elite. They just have to be, you know, middle of the pack for them to make
it. Just can't be lousy.
Yeah, if the offense is, I don't know if they're going to be as good as they were. Like, if Dak stays healthy, I think he'll be Dak. I think CD will be CD. If George Pickens is still on the team, obviously a big headline from the draft is that he did not get traded, and he signed his franchise tag. So as of now, he will be on the Cowboys next year, playing for a contract. So maybe he'll be extra motivated to have a strong season. The one part of the Cowboys offense that I'm not as sure is going to be as good as it was last year is the run game. Like, I don't think anyone expected Javonte Williams to be as good as he was, and he kind of struggled a little bit down the stretch. Now, team was out of it. The offensive line, it's not all on him.
Sure.
But if the Cowboys offense is close to what it was last year, and the defense,
if they can get that kind of play out of him again, you know?
Yeah. And if he's that good, then, like the Cowboys, they could be a playoff team. I know Cowboys fans are looking for more than that because it's been 30 years, and they've been a playoff team plenty of times in the last three decades of doing nothing really relevant. But you get into the playoffs if you have a middle-of-the-pack defense and a similar offense to what you had this past year. So I'll give them credit. They knew what they needed to do. They did the job that they were supposed to do, and Jerry Jones wants credit, so I'm giving it to him.
Did they not take any offensive linemen?
They took – fourth-round pick they spent on an offensive lineman from Penn State. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they waited until day three, Buck.
How about that?
For months, you were telling us they were going to take one in the first round. They waited till the fourth.
You must have been pleased with that. I bet you weren't even pleased with that in the fourth.
I was fine with it.
They could have found a linebacker.
Yeah, they could have found a linebacker. I mean, they technically spent a fifth on a linebacker with the trade to go get D. Winters. So,
let me ask you about a player, BK, the kid from Texas Tech. Where did he go, the linebacker?
He's going to be joining the Miami Longhorns.
Is he really?
Yeah, second-round pick, Jacob Rodriguez.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's where he's at. And, again, the Quinn Ewers show in Miami. I know they've got Malik Willis. Somebody commented and said they paid it. It's the Quinn Ewers show in Miami.
There you go, BK. There you go.
Don't forget about that right there. And then, Buck, the Houston Texans, recapping their draft a little bit, they did not get as many high marks from folks around the industry as the Cowboys did. I mean, a part of me always laughs and scoffs at these post-draft grades because you can't really grade a draft until 3, 4, 5 years down the road once you've actually seen these players in the league. Texans, they addressed their offensive line in round one. We talked about Keelan Rutledge on Friday. Yep. That guy's physical. He's big. He's got a mean streak to him. And I think there's a good chance he's the starting center. I know he didn't play center in college, but I think he might take over that spot in Houston. I love their second round pick, I should say. They had two of them, but Caden McDonald, the big defensive tackle from Ohio State, most people viewed him as the best interior defensive lineman in this class. He actually was there in Pittsburgh on night one in the draft room thinking he was going to go. He didn't. He got invited back by Roger Goodell for round two. He went, and he walked across the stage, so a pretty cool moment. He was the only player after day one to stick around for that. But, I mean, that's a big boy in the heart of that Texans defense, and I mean, that's going to make what already was an elite unit even better this year.
Oh, yeah.
I love that pick there. And then that, you know, the Texans also went to Michigan for one of their other day two picks, Marlon Klein.
Haven't they learned?
They got a character from Finding Nemo in the second round. He was their backup tight end. He had 38 catches in his career, just one touchdown. And he's a decent blocker. I think he's an okay player, but most people had him graded as like a fourth round guy, and the Texans ended up taking him in round two. So that's a bit of a head scratcher on paper from Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
But I thought the Texans were fine. Again, Rutledge and McDonald are their two big pieces. I think you've got two plug and play starters on the offensive and defensive line. Those guys are going to help. And then some of the other picks, a little more crap shooty, I would say, for the Texans. And I don't know. I don't know if I like the Marlon Klein pick a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, they needed to address that offensive line first of all.
And then they took another offensive lineman. Yeah, they took a guard out of Oklahoma in the fourth round. So they did draft multiple offensive linemen. And again, they went out in free agency and brought in a couple of offensive linemen as well.
Right.
So they've done a solid job. Again, I mean, it's reshuffling the deck, and I don't like doing that as often as the Texans have done in recent years. But I guess Nick Caserio's thought is, why would I want to keep guys on a bad offensive line? Let's just start this whole thing over and get rid of Laremy Tunsil. We can get rid of Titus Howard. Like, they might be the better players on the O-line, but our O-line's not good. So let's just kind of break this thing up and see if we can piecemeal something different that's going to be more effective. They've tried it a few times. Hasn't always worked. They're trying it again. Jury's still out.
Well, it's got to work for the quarterback this year.
And the run game will obviously help the quarterback. So hopefully the offensive line can do a better job of creating some holes for David Montgomery and Woody Marks and company.
Sure.
No running backs drafted by the Texans. A little surprised they didn't take a flyer on a day three guy, but they did not take a running back. Any other headlines, storylines, surprise picks, draft things?
Where did Penn State Singletary end up going?
Singletary?
Third round?
I don't know. I don't have that off the top of my head. Nicholas Singleton is his name. I think the running back who you're talking about?
Yeah, Singleton.
He went to Tennessee in round five.
Well, Tennessee did okay.
Because they took an average Penn State running back?
No, they just did. I think they did okay. I think they're trying to surround, you know, with their young quarterback with some decent players.
Yeah, the other Penn State running back, Catron Allen, went in the sixth round to the Commanders.
Yeah, way to stay in there. They way to stick around Penn State for that extra year.
You just never know. I mean, we had the conversation talking about Jack injuries earlier. Like, injuries fell to the seventh round, and it's like, well, if he just came back to school for one more season, he probably could have improved his draft stock. Sometimes you do that, you think it's going to work, and then you're the two Penn State running backs.
Oh my God, you're right. I mean, both of those guys we got drafted higher. If they'd have come out that when they should have come out. Sticking around with James Franklin another year did not help them.
No, it did not. Penn State, not a lot of good happened at Penn State last year.
No.
Couldn't happen to a nicer program, though. Very clean, no bad history, no reason to dislike anything that they do, right?
It's too bad.
Too bad. Too bad. So sad. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. We'll get to the BBK news here in a moment. Very interesting arrest story that we have to talk
about.
Do
you have some disturbing news that has followed you?
Some disturbing news. A little game of guess that state that we'll play. And also, an Austin institution is closing its doors, which is very sad. We'll get to those stories in a moment. But first, how about a few more sponsor shout-outs?
So our friends over at my air conditioner just clicked on right here, Woods Comfort Systems. And yeah, over the next 2 days, folks, that air conditioning is going to come over because, hey, it's 93, but seems like a hundy. Yeah, that air conditioning needs to cut on. It is humid and nasty, and it's going to be for the next 24 to 48 hours. Then it's going to cool off again, BK. And I don't know if you're going to get your heater to click on. Maybe just have to open up a couple windows, which should be nice. But Woods Comfort Systems, they've been in business for 70 years in Central Texas. And, folks, they do air conditioning and heating like nobody's business. But they also do plumbing, indoor and outdoor plumbing. They will help you. If you have a problem, do not attempt to do this on your own. Be like BK. Make the phone call. Don't go in there and start get the big wrench out and start moving things underneath the sink. Let Woods Comfort Systems do that. Let their technicians come out and get the job done. 70 years in Central Texas. Woods Comfort Systems, nobody does it better.
No, they don't. WoodsComfortSystems.com or give them a call, 512-842-5066. And we're talking about the storms early in the show.
Yeah.
You know, if your home got hit by the storms over the weekend, you know, Qualis Roofing and Construction, they also have a team up in the Metroplex. So if you're up in the Metroplex and your roof took it on the chin a little bit.
They're going to be replacing houses up there.
Yeah, reach out to Qualis Roofing and Construction. They are the very best in the business. More than 700 five-star reviews online. They do residential. They do commercial. So if something's wrong with your roof, or hey, you just haven't gotten it inspected in a while and you want to make sure that nothing is wrong with your roof, you know, the insurance companies recommend that you get it checked out twice a year. Qualis is like, we love you. We don't love you that much. We don't need to come to your place twice a year. Just have us out once. We'll do it for free. We'll also buy you a free Longhorn t-shirt from Sue Patrick if you have us out.
One of these bad boys.
Exactly. And it's that simple. There's no pressure. These are great people, guys that I enjoy hanging out with. And again, they do incredibly quality work A-plus rated by the BBB. Again, all of those five-star reviews online. QualisGC.com is their website, or you can give them a call, 512-257-0033 for more information.
All right. And, anything happened at the wedding? Anything good? Somebody made a fool of themselves. Who did? Which one of your friends did something? Somebody had to do something in the Kansas City area, didn't they?
So this was not a friend's wedding.
Okay. So that makes it easier to squeal on them.
This was a girlfriend's cousin wedding.
Oh, that's even better.
And because I am still at the hotel with members of girlfriend's family, I am going to save wedding stories for tomorrow's show.
Very nice. Oh, yeah.
I'm away from anybody and to where, you know, people can be mad at me, but I don't want them mad at me in person. I don't want them mad at me while I'm back home and they're back home. So I have a couple of stories to get into from the Sunday night wedding.
Sunday nighter.
Which is why I am still here in Kansas City today.
There you go.
But we get to the BBK news here to wrap up a Monday show. We'll start with an Austin institution closing shop after 141 years in business. The iconic Lamb's Candies is shutting down completely. After operating under the same
forever.
What?
This is for good. This is not one of those where they disappear for a month or two, or then they sounds like it's for good, huh?
Well, a sign on Lamb's Candy's Round Rock store gave customers the news, which started to spread widely on social media over the weekend. The Round Rock store closed on April 24th. Their flagship location on Airport Boulevard will remain a bit longer, their words, though a timeline for when it will shutter was not displayed. So there's no official closing date for the airport location, but the Round Rock location has officially closed its doors. They said that changing market conditions and long-term sustainability were reasons for its decision.
I loved it. You know, I used to love for Lambs, the little turtles with the little nuts in them. Because I like these nuts. Mm. They have chocolate with the little nuts on the inside. Those are delicious. What do they call those? Called little turtles or something?
I think so. And they sold, our friends at Sue Patrick sell a lot of Lamb's Candies, right? Yes. They do a lot of longhorn shapes and styles. Well, and
got to get Mother's Day. Mother's Day, mother loves candy. She loves a little chocolate.
141 years. They've been around for almost as long as you've been alive, sir.
Just about close.
And they had five stores at one point. They closed their Barton Creek Mall location in 2021. They closed one on Anderson Lane shortly after that. And now they're down to just one on Airport. They started in 1878 on Congress Avenue. And they were rebranded as Lamb's Candies in 1885. Five generations of Lamb family have run the business.
We need to go find some Lamb signs. Those things will be, got to go in there and get some memorabilia.
Yeah. And the Airport Boulevard, I might go and get me some before it's too late. Or maybe Sue Patrick, I'll go buy out their selection.
Yeah, man.
Before it's too late. So there you go. And now we got one more story to wrap up the show. Probably should have given us more time to talk about this, but we'll get to it here. It's a little guess that state for you, Buck.
Okay.
Woman throws dynamite at sleeping boyfriend and his hand is blown off trying to save himself.
Oh, I'm going to say that sounds...
Hold on. Let me give you some details here first.
Detail, okay.
Before you make your decision. A deranged blank, that's the location, blank, woman is facing up to 25 years behind bars for tossing a homemade dynamite stick at her sleeping boyfriend, whose hand was blown off as he tried to get rid of the explosive, according to officials. Kiana Waddell, 35, was found guilty this past Friday on charges stemming from a March 2024 incident. I don't know why it took so long to get her charged, or found guilty, I should say. But an incident that happened in March 2024 that turned violent. The two got into an explosive argument, and it turned into...
Explosive. I like the way you use that. That's good.
She had threatened to use the dynamite against her then-boyfriend multiple times in the months leading up to the incident. But he never expected his lover to actually follow through on the threats. And the pair both left the unidentified victim's apartment after an argument in March. But he eventually returned and went to sleep by himself. And then she came back and threw the explosive device into his room. The boyfriend woke up a little later, hearing a hissing sound, and then he saw a flame on the floor that he couldn't put out as time ticked away. He tried to pick it up and toss it outside, but the makeshift bomb exploded and blew apart most of his hand.
Oh. They're not going to be able to reconcile, I don't believe.
I think it's an ex situation now. He stumbled out of the driveway screaming for help and spotted her, Waddell, fleeing the scene. So she didn't do a good enough job getting away. Not that he probably suspected it to be from anybody else. She
should have gone out of the window, honey, not the front door.
She was arrested one day later, found guilty of assault. And again, for some reason, it took this long for the charges to come out for this Wile E. Coyote crime that was committed here.
Okay, two places.
Okay.
Delaware or I'm going to say Delaware or Morgantown.
The state of Morgantown?
No, West Virginia. Sorry.
Okay. Delaware or West Virginia. Now you're 0 for 2.
Damn it.
We've got a New Yorker here.
What?
This is a Long Island story, my friend.
Empire State? We do that in the Empire State?
What? Long Island woman throws dynamite at sleeping boyfriend and his hand is blown off trying to save himself.
Ooh.
There's a picture, a mugshot of the woman. That's just Wile E. Coyote right there.
Wow. New York.
Yeah, that's so make sure you treat your significant other well, because you never know who's making dynamite in their spare time.
Yeah, really.
Handmade. Homemade dynamite. I don't even know how you do that. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Got to look into that.
Let's talk to Wags. Wags will be able to tell you.
Wags has the real stuff. He can get military grade. You don't
he
need
some back with him. He yeah, brought exactly. it back with him.
That's a guy you don't want to mess with right there.
Man.
But yeah, that's got to be, that's one of the worst ways I could imagine waking up is You see a flame on the floor, you hear a hissing sound, and you see a stick of dynamite in your room. And you're like, I mean, what do you do? Do you run or do you try to do what this guy did and pick it up and throw it?
I ain't picking it up, that's for sure.
No, it didn't work.
Hey, listen, I ain't picking it up and I'm not diving on top of it.
No, I think I'm running. I'm running as fast and as far as I can and hoping that it's not strong enough to completely blow up the entire place so I can make it out alive.
No, I'm not throwing the mattress on it and laying on top of the mattress. I'm not getting blown up into the roof either. No, thanks.
That is crazy. Long Island, the Long Island ladies.
Wow, the ladies of Long Island are at it again.
I'll tell you what. So there you go. That will do it for a Monday show and a Monday BBK news. And take care of your significant other so your hand doesn't get Jason Pierre-Paul'd tonight.
Yes, mine will be back in town. She's been gone seeing her mom, so I'm looking forward to seeing her tomorrow. It's been a long time by myself here.
What, are you scared?
No, I'm not scared. I sleep with the gun right beside me. It's not that I'm scared. That's not because I'm scared.
You got your nightlight on?
No, I got little nightlights throughout the house. You know, those little round ones you plug in. I got those.
Sounds scared to me.
No, I'm not as scared. I'm not a scaredy cat. I got dogs and guns. I'm fine.
All right.
Plus, my wife can't hear. I'm up anyway. Remember, she can't hear a thing. Somebody could be in the room tap dancing. She would know what was going on.
You're right. Yeah, if you weren't scared, you wouldn't have those things. But that's all right.
Oh, I'd be just fine with a hammer or something. Needless to say, I have that too. I just can't wait to fist fight somebody that breaks in my house. No, no, that's never happening.
Put up your dukes, you see? Yeah,
come on. Here, let me hit you with this mug. No,
that's
thanks.
Awesome. All right, we're out of here. We will talk to you all tomorrow. Everyone, enjoy your Monday.
So have a safe trip back.
Thanks, my man. Appreciate y'all tuning in, and we will talk to y'all tomorrow.
Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.